Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert Larson from Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Hi, this is Andy Atwell from Vancouver, Washington.
Hey, this is Brett Williams from Vancouver, Washington.
And this is Steve Patton from Gilbert, Arizona.
We'd like you to join us today. Get your Bible, grab a cup of coffee, and we're going to be going through the book of Matthew, and we're interested in the parables. Jesus, when he started his ministry, he gave people an instruction, and one of them was to come and follow him. So we want to follow him through the parables. Also, we've noticed, because of some of the people that have gotten us interested in the Bible, one man wrote to us years ago. Actually, he went home to the Lord in 1943, a few years before I was born. And his name was Ivan Pannens, and he gave us some instructions on how to look at the Bible and realize there's a lot of step-by-step instructions in the scriptures. And Matthew, if you read the book of Matthew, it's actually not the book of Matthew. He's just the author. So you see Matthew in big title letters. And when do you ever see a book that the person that wrote it is the number one feature? Where is his name usually? On the jacket of the book. Where is it?
On the inside.
Or usually at the bottom.
At the bottom, yeah. And where is the title?
Usually at the top.
And how big is the script or the font size for the title?
Giant.
Giant. So Matthew is not the subject. So where does he really belong on this book? In the book of Matthew, where does he really belong?
At the bottom.
Smaller letters.
Yeah.
Right. And actually, he's not the author. Who really is the author?
God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It came off of God's
lips.
Yeah. And so he was just described so he would be more like the publisher or the printer, the person that his hand wrote the book of Matthew, but really God is the author. And we want to know what the title is of this book, the first book that's written by Matthew. He was the scribe. So I've got a question for you. How many times do you see the name Matthew in the book of Matthew?
I've never counted. I couldn't think of it.
That's a funny question. It's probably going to be zero.
No, because
it's some.
He was chosen, remember?
Oh, okay. So he is in there. Okay.
Yeah, and he was a tax collector. Mm-hmm. So we have an IRS agent. You know, I mean, they're not the most favorite people in the world today, are they? Writing this first book in the New Testament. How many times have you guys gone to bed thinking sweet dreams and thoughts of your tax collector? And our government decided to add 86,000 more. That's going to be an interesting day when that, if and when that happens, people will really have to be careful of their returns, that they dot the I's and cross the T's. But this book is different. It's the starting book. And really, it's the beginning of understanding the Bible. It says someplace in the scriptures that a scribe is, the kingdom of heaven is like a scribe who brings things out of his treasury, both things new and old. And notice new is first. What do you guys think about starting in the Old Testament first to understand, or where would you start, Brett?
I would honestly start in a new. If I had a choice, I'd be starting in the new and going from there, because there's a scripture that actually talks about that the Old Testament is like a shadow of the New. So I'd rather understand what it is and not try to focus on the other side of it.
How about you, Andy?
Well, that's what it says. It says that it's a shadow. So I would rather see the real and see what it really means and then understand what the shadow is rather than look at a shadow and try to figure out what that was.
So Brett just came up with a great thing that we have found out is about mate scriptures. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read in Isaiah, not one of these will fail, not one will lack its mate. There's always a mate scripture that gives you another angle picture of the same subject. And how about you, Steve?
When I first started trying to read the Bible, I started from the beginning like a normal book, like a regular book, and I seemed to get bogged down, and so I'd put it aside. And then later on in life, I started in the book of Matthew, and it was much easier to digest.
Well, I did the same, and I couldn't quit reading. Once I started in the right place, one subject would build on another, would build on another, would build on another. And the same thing happens. The book of Matthew has a subject, and it's a very important subject. It's not found in all the other three gospels. There are four gospels. What is it? What's a gospel?
Good news. Good message.
What do we hear today in the newspapers and on TV when you go to the news? Do you hear good news or what do you hear?
It's bad news.
World news, bad news, a bunch of different types of news.
Bad news.
The kingdom of God isn't eating and drinking. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So what do you get when you read the news or see the news on TV? You get wickedness, war, and sorrow. In a lot of cases, they try to throw in a little good story, a little cute good story. You ever notice how they do that?
To make it lighter.
Yeah, right. But it's just some little thing that really doesn't usually relate to you. But what runs the news is, and then they go into frivolous things, you know, the things that aren't life and death. They're really just maybe sports or movies, movie stars, and so on. They try to keep you, you know, attracted to that. But the main news is not good news. So I wonder what the opposite gospel, it'd be interesting to know what bad news is in the Greek. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so Matthew, what we're going to learn about is Jesus Christ is the king. There's a new kingdom that's coming, and we are governed by the kingdom the kingdoms that are of this earth. And Daniel talked about them, but we'll get into those later. We're just going to start at the beginning. And the kingdom of heaven is mentioned only in the Gospel of Matthew. It is not mentioned in Mark, Luke, or John. It's not called the kingdom of heaven in either of those. And so that really stood out to Ivan Panin. He went looking for these main topics, and he found this main topic to be that Jesus Christ is the king. And it's the government that's coming is not a republic, it's not a democracy, it's not fascism, it's not communism. It is a kingdom, and Jesus is the king. He's not king yet, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's not pronounced that yet, but he is the king. He is the king. But on earth, he is coming, and he will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords on earth. And so that's the first thing that when we read the book of Matthew. And so let's please keep that as the focus when we go through the parables, and we want to go through all the parables. That's what we're going to do here. We're going to start at the beginning. These are exactly the things that Jesus taught to the crowds. He didn't teach it to the Bible scholars, to the people who already knew the Bible. This is the beginning subjects of the Bible that he taught to the beginners, to the people in first grade. And Jesus said, unless you become like one of these little ones, like a first grader, you will in no wise inherit the kingdom of heaven. And so this is where we want to start. We want to start in first grade, and don't be ashamed of it. I like going back to the first grade because, you know, when you go on to college, you still go back to reading, writing, and arithmetic that you did in the first grade, right?
Mm. I have to explain that to my daughter too. I'm like, this is why you're doing your homework, because I use it every day. You're going to use it every day. It's going to be applicable to you.
And learning basic things takes the pressure off of you. And it's always refreshing to learn things, even things you knew, in a new way. And to continue to be able to pick up things like that, you have to keep that child mindset just like when you started.
Hmm. Okay, we're going to bring up one more point about the book of Matthew. It is, again, it's about, this is the only place where you see the kingdom of the heavens involved. And in the other books, Mark, Luke, and John, you don't see the kingdom of heaven or heavens, you see the kingdom of God. In other words, the Lord is telling us our first instruction when you, or the first main topic or the first idea that God is trying to get across to us is we're going to change our mind and start looking up instead of looking down. Our whole view of life is going to change from wickedness, war, and sorrow. That's what's happening on the earth. It's going to change to righteousness, peace, and joy. So what direction are you looking when you're looking for the kingdom of the heavens?
Set your mind on the things above,
on the things above,
and not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above,
on the things above,
and not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with him in glory. Set your mind
on the things above.
And not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died. And your life is hidden with Christ in God.
Well, in Matthew chapter 1, it starts with the genealogy of Jesus Christ beginning with Abraham. And it gives the genealogy here on earth. We don't know him yet as a son of God. We know him as Christ, Jesus, and he is the king. And so it starts with Abraham. In the book of Genesis, you'll find out that Abraham would be the father, that kings would come out of him, and it even said of Sarah that kings would come forth from you. And so the genealogy starts with the genealogy of the kings, who, you know, in England, they came out of the House of Stuart, House of Windsor, there were different houses where the king was to be born from. And in the Bible, it was Abraham. So that's the main goal that we want to look at here. When we go on to the book of Mark, or the gospel of that Mark wrote, well, let me go back a little bit. So let's title Matthew, Jesus Christ the King, is really the title, and it happened to be whose hand, it came from God, the author is God, and it came by hand that Matthew wrote this book down. And let's look at the same with Mark. He happened to be the scribe that wrote it, the author was God, and we'll call that the gospel of the servant. Jesus came as a servant. He came to walk on earth, to give his life as a ransom for many, and he took our place to die on the cross for us. And we just simply have to follow him. He said in Matthew 4:17, change your mind, repent, metanoos, meta, change, nous, change your mind. And because the kingdom of the heavens is at hand. And the book of Mark shows that he served us, but we are to become servants. So think of the way the gospels or the parables were written. He said he spoke to the crowd in parables, but he went and explained them privately to his 12 apostles, 12 disciples. But don't forget, too, that one of his disciples who became apostles betrayed him. So what would you call Judas Iscariot in this group of people that ministered with Jesus for 3.5 years? What would you call him? A wheat, or what else would you call him?
Like a tare?
A tare.
A tare. Not a terror, T-E-R-R-O-R, but a tare like in a weed, something that takes the place of the wheat. It looks like the wheat, but it is not edible. And it can crowd out actually the good wheat. So one of these, don't forget, is a terror of the 12 apostles, but it won't be, Jesus will not reveal who he is till the very last hours when he's going to be betrayed.
It's similar in the sense that once like wheat and tares, they grow together. The wheat, they don't stick straight up. The wheat will actually bow down, and the tares stick straight up.
At harvest time. Because the wheat is laden with this fruit, and it bows down, especially with a little bit of moisture that usually came during that harvest time. It would bow down, and the tares are harvested first, right?
So you can see them, you can see those during the harvest later on.
And his angels are going to remove them.
Right.
From God's presence. But anyway, back to Judas Iscariot, I just wanted to point that out. So when you always think of all these 12, there's from the beginning, there's going to be a bad one in the bunch that will not become noticeable till the very end, and he will be removed by God. It won't be man that does it. It'll be removed. But God would take all, even including Judas Iscariot, he would privately explain the parables to them alone. So we're going to go through some of those explanations that are God-breathed. They're right from God's lips. They're right in the Bible. But you'll notice a difference, too, when we start going through these parables, that God is going to treat his chosen ones that gather around him in private, he will explain those things, but to the crowd, he will speak in these parables. But these parables, how important are they?
Well, Jesus says if, you know, that we're supposed to understand them. You know, one of the parables he explains, if you don't understand this parable, how can you understand the rest? So they're all meant for us to understand. We're supposed to understand them.
They're the teachings of Jesus to the right people that are supposed to hear them. And to everybody else, they're hidden. They don't know anything about them.
It's our pathway to salvation. It's our pathway to heaven.
And it says he only taught in that way. He only taught, he taught in parables.
To the crowds.
To the crowds.
And to his disciples.
And so that is a whole picture there. That way he could stand there and tell a whole thing and nobody knew what it meant. And then his disciples said, well, what does this mean? And then he'd tell them what it meant.
And I'm sure they didn't understand those fully, but they would once they received the Holy Spirit, the light bulb went on. Mm-hmm. And they actually were living a new life. He was preparing them for a new life that was going, that would end up in the heavens, heaven on earth. And there's an expression about being born again. And that the problem is the word again in the Greek does not mean again.
Yeah. Anagenesis, born above, or ana as in above or up, genesis as in born. So right. They're born from above.
Anathen genesis.
That little word, a thin, is a participle, not to be too smart here, but it has force. It's up, born up with force.
I didn't know that last part. I knew it was Anathen genesis, but Andy studied out. See, these are things that we cannot do personally. Jesus gathered 12, for one thing. The number 12 is way more powerful than one. Well, two, he sent them out two by two, so you at least need two to have a mirror or a different angle of view. And so say that one again, Andy.
The word anathen, ana means up. It's a preposition that means literally up. And thin is a participle in the Greek, and it means with force.
Like a birth, but instead of the baby coming out and being the same level.
It goes up.
It goes up.
Yes.
So it's not born again. It's born again with force.
Or upward with force.
Well, upward with force. Now, what's interesting is I knew that, so I just added to my knowledge. I mean, just right now, Andy, I used to call it being born up, and now I know it's born up with force, by the power of God.
That's the implication.
Now, how many of you felt that that day you were baptized, that moment you were baptized?
Before I was even changed into dry clothes.
Praise the Lord.
Well, it's interesting. I drove home. In fact, I was over at Gil's house. This was a few years back. And when I was driving home, I told my wife that I felt like I was driving on top of the telephone poles. What in the world does that mean? It means I was above where I used to be. I mean, in talking about it, that was how I was speaking of it. That probably sounded kind of crazy, but I was up from where I was. Yeah,
your car was still on the ground.
Yeah,
your
but I was experiencing something I couldn't really explain.
But you were no longer held to the gravity of this earth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when men fell in the fall, Adam fell. They were, the force of gravity entered into their lives. It says they could no longer go home. And where is home? Heaven. And it sounds like. There are seven instances, I think, I found reading the Bible that we actually will fly. So, but back to this being born up, anathen genesis, is, and Jesus came to set us free, to be able to fly again. And there were times when people would, like Jesus could walk through walls. He escaped, and one time they tried to throw him over a cliff, and he went.
Reads minds.
Yeah.
Knows the intentions of people's hearts. Real things that no one can do.
Yeah. And unless through the Holy Spirit. And the next one we're talking about was Mark, that he was the scribe, God is the author, it's God-breathed. All scripture is God-breathed, and I learned that from Ivan Panins, and I checked him out, and he's right on the button. God-breathed, but the subject is the gospel or the good news of the servant. So Jesus said, that, and we'll get into that when we get into Mark, but we've got a ways to go. But I'm just introducing this. And I think when we do each one, I'll go back and review the names of these books so we can look at them. When we go to read them, we could look at them as to what they're really, where the focus is, so we can get into God's mind and heart and see what he's really saying. And so this book of that was written by Mark, came out of God's mouth, is the good news about the servant, how Jesus came to serve us, even give his life for us, to experience everything we did, to have born with a man's body, and yet to experience these things. And we're going to go on then to the next book, the book that was written by the pen of Luke. Again, God being the author, God breathed, and it is the good news about the Son of Man, that Jesus was born, and the lineage, when Jesus was king, starts in the kings, Abraham, out of him and Sarah came kings. But this one goes back in chapter 3 of Luke to Adam, the fallen Adam. Because it's Adam and Seth. If you back it up, and he was 130 years old when he was no longer a God's son, Adam wasn't, but he was a fallen man. And he had a big void in him, and he was all sinned and fall short. Sin means to miss the target, and all have sinned and fall short of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus was born, and he suffered the same things, the same desires and so on that we have, yet what?
He was without sin.
He didn't ever miss the mark. He did everything right. And so people were probably wondering about him. I'll bet his brothers might have had a little bit of jealousy or whatever. And he was firstborn, of course, because he was born of a virgin. And but anyway, this Luke is going to be about him being a man and overcoming. And you cannot judge a person unless you walk in their footsteps, can you? If you have the same thing happen to you, like a loss of a spouse, I know other people that have had a loss of a spouse, and they get things. They get it. And they'll tell me things that I can look for, because I just lost my spouse recently. But other people can't really. They don't know what to say, and it's probably better they don't. You know, they're there for you. But I couldn't understand this, and this friend of mine, it had happened to him before, and now I'm getting it because I've walked in the shoes. So we really have to be careful how we judge if we don't walk in their shoes. But here's Jesus, who's walked in all of our shoes. He knows us. He's God. Without sin, but took the form of man. He became a son of man. And he did it so he could be of the utmost understanding to each and every one of us when he judges or makes decisions. And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together, and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible, because it is written, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God."